Hello, ladies. It has been a couple weeks since I recorded a new podcast episode. First, I want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I hope everybody really did have a great Thanksgiving and some relaxing holiday time. And I just hope it was lovely. It was lovely for me. I'll just give you a couple of life updates. So I took a few weeks off because November has been had was a lot. Like I was launching my signature real estate queen program, which I'm changing the name of. It's going to be Buying Your First Home with Confidence, a course for women, because I feel like that's a little bit more self-explanatory than real estate queens, because some people might get confused and think that the courses are for real estate agents, but it's actually for people who want to learn how to buy real estate. So I had the launch of that and I did a lot of workshops and a lot of lives and a lot of marketing. So that was a lot. So I needed a little bit of a break after that. Also my husband's family from Israel was visiting. So we took a road trip from San Francisco down to Southern California to be with my family. And on the way we stopped in Carmel and Santa Barbara for a few days. And it was just, wonderful family time, relaxing time, decompressing from that, onboarding the new clients that I got, just really like being grateful and soaking in everything that I had worked for. Because if you don't stop and you don't soak in all that you've done and reflect, it's just kind of like you're in a hamster wheel. Yeah. So that was it. But I had a great idea. Also, I want to review a real estate show. And so I posted on my Instagram, I want to review a real estate show. Which one should I do? Selling Sunset or Million Dollar Listing LA? And it was a resounding million dollar list. I'm sorry. It was a resounding Selling Sunset. Everybody wants me to review Selling Sunset. So here I am. It's going to be a series because there are four seasons, eight episodes in each season. And right, so today I am reviewing the first four episodes in season one. So I just want to preface, I've been watching the show, obviously, because I have to, I'm reviewing it. And I mean, Netflix knows what they're doing. Netflix does their research and they know what people want to see. And this show is not about real estate. This show is about hot girls living in LA with a lot of money, with their clothes and their restaurants and their drama, and they're going out with real estate terms dropped here and there, houses dropped here and there, working quote unquote in an office behind a desk here and there. So that's really what the show is about. So, yeah, I found myself fast forwarding quite a bit because I'm not here to review the drama. I'm here to review the real estate, the accuracy, explaining things to you in the setting. So that's what the show is about, ladies. Also, just want to announce that last month I was promoting the signature course to buy your first house with confidence. That's group course. And now the course, the self-paced evergreen Buying Your First Home with Confidence, a course for women, is out now, available for purchase. And it's totally self-paced. It's 10 videos about, the understanding real estate, understanding the ideas and concepts, what the actual steps and strategies are, from the first step to the last step to everything in between, how to do it, how to look at it. You get journal prompts and PDFs. So that is out now for purchase. And yeah, so I hope you enjoy this episode. It's been really fun. Talk to you soon. Welcome to the Real Estate Queens podcast, ladies. I'm Marina Schifferman, your real estate fairy godmother. And in these episodes, we are going to talk everything buying and owning real estate, confidence, money, so many juicy topics, and all the female empowerment vibes. Let's do it. Let's just jump right into it. So, I started with season one. There are eight episodes in season one. Let's go now. So episode one, it starts with showing who the characters are. The main people are, it's about the Oppenheim group. The Oppenheim group are two brothers who started this brokerage. What that, and they have like a bunch of hot girl agents working with them. What does this mean? This means that the Oppenheim brothers are the two real estate agents that started this brokerage, and they hired all of the other hot girls to be basically their assistants, because they're the ones that get in all the business, and they like disperse, okay, you are going to get this buyer, you are going to get this seller among the hot girls. Now, that's not really how it works. Like for me, nobody hands me business. Nobody's like, here's your buyer, here's your seller. Part of being a real estate agent, a huge part, is getting the clients, is the networking, meeting the people, creating the relationships, nurturing the leads, all of that stuff. So the hot girls are basically, I would say, their realtor assistants. So it's the two brothers, they're bringing all the business and they're spreading it to the girls. They are really the business minds, because in the first episode, it's them telling them what they're doing this week, which open houses they're doing this week, which buyers they're talking to, which sellers they're talking to. Also, I made a lot of notes, so I'm kind of just like reading my notes. The brothers are the brokerage, and it's really, really smart of them to do that. Because when you're in a brokerage, you have to pay a percentage of your commission to the brokerage to have your license in that brokerage. And apparently they have a lot of business and they're kicking ass that they could start their own brokerage, keep 100% of the commission, of course, pay out business expenses. But all their hot girl real estate agents are paying them percentage of their commission, which they're bringing in anyways. Something that I noticed is that the girls are always wearing heels. Let's talk about how they're dressed. Okay, they look like they're going to a nightclub and they look like they're 25 with the cleavage and the high cuts and the super tight dresses, and they're always wearing heels, like not regular little kitten heels, platforms, no, like straight up stilettos, even on construction sites. Now, I don't know if that's what they actually do in real life, but the life of a realtor is you're going to different houses, you're getting in and out of your car, you're walking up and down the streets, you're going to construction sites, you're going in the backyard, you're going down to the garage. Why the hell would you wear heels? First of all, you're just going to ruin your heels. Heels are nice and expensive and beautiful and elegant, and I love my shoes. Why would I wear them to ruin them? And also, you can't really walk in them. Like, you cannot really do any work in heels. I think it's just weird the way they dress. But anyways, so one thing that one of the ladies said is real estate is all about building relationships. And that is so true. There's so many realtors out there. The reason buyers and sellers choose to work with me is because they like me. They trust me. The relationship is there. So you meet a person and you have to nurture that relationship for a while. Like my real estate agent ladies who are listening can totally attest to this. Like, you meet a person and maybe 5 years later they become a client. But that's not why I maintain friendships, because to keep the client. I meet people, and if I vibe with them and if I like them, then we're going to keep that friendship going. Them working with me is just a bonus. But I don't meet people and think, cha-ching, they're going to buy. I need to keep them as a friend, because that's fake. That's not authentic. That's not true. That's no. But it is about building relationships. So if you're thinking about becoming a real estate agent, you just know that it takes a while. It's all about building relationships, building your confidence, your experience, all that stuff. Let's see. The brothers coach them. Oh, yes. So the brothers basically are their real estate coach. Like, they're telling them, make sure your offer is the first one in. So basically the brothers are handing them the business and then they're coaching them how to do deals. I have notes about this throughout, but it's really amazing, like, to get into such a group and such a community where basically they have an interest for you to do well. So they're giving you the buyer and they're basically coaching you how to work with them, how to work with the seller. One of the brothers also said, I want it in writing. Like when one of the girl real estate agents approached them and said, we have an offer, the brother said, I want it in writing. This is another rule. It didn't happen if it's not in writing and signed by everybody. You can tell me you want to offer me $3 million, but if it's not in writing, I'm not taking the house off the market. I'm not even considering your offer as real. So that's what he said. Let's see, one of my notes here. It seems like they are all the brothers' clients and the girls are just helping, which is great, especially for the brothers. Okay, let's get specific about the ladies. So this is season one. So Chriselle is there. So this is her first day. It seems like they are a big family. The brothers are the actual business, but they cannot grow and do everything without the girls. That's a huge part of it because they have a lot of clients. They can't give them all the attention they need without help. And the girls help the clients bring more business in for the brokerage. Okay. Real estate is not rocket science, but you need to know how to be strong, how to negotiate, how to be direct, how to show confidence, how to be a leader, how to work in high-pressured situations. You need to deliver news, good and bad. You basically need to do business. So it's not like being a real estate agent is, you can't figure it out, but it's not for everyone. You have to have a personality for it. Let's see, they tour property together, which is great. It's how it goes. Touring property is essential, especially during construction. You know, so as a real estate agent, I am touring property. I'm seeing property weekly, all the time. I'm seeing property before it hits the market. I'm seeing the property when it's in the remodeling phase, before it's going to be put on the market. I'm seeing the properties when it's in construction phase, like a year before it gets put on the market. I'm always seeing properties. We actually have a day here in San Francisco. It's called Tuesday Tour to go see properties on the market. Pretty much every market has a day for brokers and realtors to go see properties. It's essential. That's something that they do show quickly in the show. So the brothers have a really big construction project. They show you the very first episode. They tell you it's $40 million, brand new construction, and the girls come tour it. And one thing is true because the brothers are taking the girls through it. They're talking about it. They're explaining it. You must know your listings inside and out. Your listing is when you're selling a property. That's a listing. You have to know it inside and out. If you're in it in the construction phase, it's super important to know all the finishes inside and out, how things work inside and out, what things are made out of. And even when the listing is not new construction, you have to know because people will ask. And that's a very important information to know. So that is also something that is accurate in the show. And also something that I like is they show this big construction project throughout the first season, and the brothers are so involved. They know, they basically helped find the deal, and they found the architect and the contractor, and they're giving ideas about the rising TV. Like, they're so involved, which is probably what sets them apart too, because they are so involved, and that shows trust. Like, the seller can trust him. So every time they are doing a showing, when they show a property that they're selling, they always share how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, the price, and the commission for the sale. You know, like when they're like, one of them is like showing a property and they show you like the stats of the property. It's bed, bath, price, commission. And that's so funny because most people have absolutely no idea how commission is paid or what even is commission. Who pays commission? How much is it? They just say, oh my gosh, the real estate agent is going to make 200 grand. But really, this is commission. Commission is the fee that the real estate agent gets for doing their job, for presenting and negotiating a client, buyer or seller. The seller pays 6% commission to both to the real estate agents, and then they split that 3%, 3% each. Then you have to split that again with your brokerage. So when it shows you they're getting 200 grand of commission, that's assuming that the seller has agreed to a 6% listing with her real estate agent or his real estate agent. And that's assuming that the real estate agent is splitting 50-50 the commission. And then you have to split the commission again with your brokerage. So then you don't know how much each woman, each hot girl has to split with the brothers. So it's not like I take home 100 or 200 grand. That's probably the whole commission between both of the agents. I get that split. And then I have to give 5, 10, 20% away to my brokerage. Okay. So that's it. I just don't even know why they show that, because probably part of the show is like how easy and how glamorous it is to be a real estate agent. Like, I'm super hot and I wear tight clubbing clothes every day, and I'm just given this buyer and I'm showing a $5 million home and I get 300 grand of commission. Like, so beautiful. That's such a nice story. And I know that's what people want to see, but that's not actually the reality. And that's probably why we have like thousands of new agents every year and only like 100 make it to be a real estate agent, because that's just not how it is. Anyways, okay, let's keep going. So I have here in my note, when the Israeli girl Maya is showing, her Israeli client a $5.4 million house. Showing a house is very intimate, and she and the client, I know if you remember the first season, she meets this guy at an open house and she's showing him a $5 million house. It's very intimate and it's very flirty. She even says in her little interview, she likes the attention, but it's not the most professional. She has to play the game and she laughs. That's actually what she says. She's like wasting her own time. And we see this later, because then they go out to lunch and he's telling her that he's actually seen houses with other agents and he hasn't picked anybody yet. And then he asks her out on a date. It's like, girl, you are wasting your freaking time. Before I show a client a $5 million house, you obviously, there's steps before then. There's a first time home buyer meeting. Let's say I meet a client at an open house, like she met this dude at an open house. Exchanging contact information, reaching out, having a first-time home buyer meeting. In that first-time home buyer meeting, I ask for a commitment. I give 110% commitment to my client. I ask for that back. You're not working with any other real estate agent. Sometimes I even go as far as signing an exclusive buyer agreement. Now, that's not to say that you can not fire me. It's just for another level of commitment. After I get that, after they get to, I talk about the process, after I get the commitment, then they get pre-approved, or if they're already pre-approved, or if they're paying for cash, I need to see proof of funds. After we do that, then we go to showings. So I'm never caught off guard with, oh, he just wants to flirt with me. Or you're working with two other real estate agents I didn't even know. Like, time is money. So the fact that she even did that, it just shows you that she just wants attention. Her husband lives in Miami. She just wants attention. She met this super hot Israeli dude. And I know about super hot Israeli dudes because I'm married to one. Anyways. And so he's like full on flirting with her. That's just like not it. Why the hell would you waste your time? Anyways. Let's keep going with my notes. The team is like a sorority and the brothers give them business and guidance. It's only natural that the show is about the girls' personalities and lives. It's a lot about that. It is. Like, I fast forwarded a lot of the show because honestly, the real estate aspect and portion of the show is probably 10-15%, and the rest of the show is their lives and drama. So the fact that people are like, you're a real estate agent? Oh my God, have you seen Selling Sunset? What do you think? It's almost like, what are you talking about? Anybody could have an opinion about the show because it's not about real estate at all. Like, people that watch the show, you're not getting any information about really the process of buying or owning or how to buy or how to sell or how to get a client or how to be a real. You're not getting any of that. They just throw out words here and there. That's why I can review the show right now. Also, I really like Christine. Christine is one of the characters. I really like how sassy she is. I'm just kind of obsessed with her in this first season. We'll see how it works out. But when Christine is giving a Twilight tour, which is a showing in the evening, she uses the word sexual. Showing a house to a client is a very intimate thing. It's very personal, especially if they're your client and that you have a relationship with them and you know them and they've told you things, they've opened up to you. They are walking in this home like this is where they're going to live. This is where they're going to spend every day. This is where they're going to work. This is going to be where they're going to host their family. This is might be where they even have kids. It's very emotional, intimate for them. And that's just how it is. Like, you say intimate words. So when she uses the word, it's a very sexual house, it's very sexy, these are the vibes that you put out there. People want to see their lives there. It's business for me, but it's personal for them. So in that, when she's showing that a $10 million house to buyers, and the wife is like, I don't like the floors, or I don't like that it has a gas stove. It's so funny how Christine keeps it real. Like, she's like, bitch, you don't even cook, or like, you can replace the floors. It's a $10 million house and you can replace the floors. Obviously, she doesn't say it to their face, but she says it in her interview, and it's so fucking true. Like, I coach my clients how to look at properties. I coach the students in the academy because you don't look at the oven. You don't look at the floors. You look at the location and you look at the layout. You look at the light in the windows. Look at how big the rooms are. Floors, like, okay, $10 million house. Floors, to replace all the floors in the house, you're looking at 50 grand. Compare that to $10 million. To replace an oven, it's nothing. It's like people look at the wrong things. Don't look at the paint color of the house. Don't look that you don't like the countertops or the cabinets or the tile or the floors. It's like ridiculous. So it's just so funny that Christine keeps it real. Like, bitch, you don't have a cook. And it's true. Like, who wants an electric stove? She didn't like that there was a gas stove. Anyway, so a quote that Christine says that I wrote down, real estate is a mind game. They don't know what they want until they see it. She's referring to a buyer. And unfortunately, it is true, especially with buyers. I mean, I was going to say buying their first home, but any home. You don't know what you want until you see it, because you don't see that many houses inside and out until you're in the process of looking. So what you want changes. What you think you want isn't relevant anymore. So the job of a real estate agent is to be there for you while you figure it out, to figure it out for you before you even figure it out. To listen to you so deeply that they show you the things you didn't even know that you want. Okay. I have a note here. Mary, the other blonde lady, is showing a house to her little hot French boyfriend. So, like, I don't even understand why that was in the show. She was just like, hey, this is a house I'm selling to her hot French boyfriend. Obviously part of the show, obviously to introduce them. Let's see. So the show pretty much goes like this. It's like personal drama. They do a little bit of house showings. They're in the office. That's on repeat. That's like how the show goes. Talk about the Israeli girl meeting the Israeli guy for lunch. And he's flirting with her. We should have a drink. But then he tells her he's working with other people. He's like, I like you as a person. I like you as a woman. Let's hang out a little bit more. A serious agent does not waste their time with this bullshit. Like, no. I'm never meeting a client, a guy, for drinks. and then caught when before he's given me a commitment or any kind of anything in writing or we've had any kind of meetings. And then he never catches me off guard with, oh, you're such a wonderful woman. I like you as a woman. Let's hang out more. Let's flirt. Let's go on dates. Like, come on. It's actually ridiculous. It actually pissed me off because it's totally making fun of being a real estate agent. Like, of course, sometimes you get those creeps who just want to, they see a really hot real estate agent and they want to date you, but there's no way that I'm going out to lunch or drinks or dinner or anything with you until you become a legitimate client. That's the difference between a newer agent and an experienced agent. At the beginning of my career, 10 years ago, I was happy to work with any client. I didn't know how the client progression would go. I thought you met them and then you show them homes and then you have to be the best one and then they pick you and they buy a home through you. But no, now in my career, I have the confidence, I have the experience, I know that I'm the best realtor out there for them. It's you meet the client, you like the client, you build the relationship. If you don't, they're gone. You have first-time home buyer meeting that's like an hour. You get a commitment. Then they go through the mortgage process. You're with them every step of the way. Then it's sending them listings. Then it's the house showings. Okay? So that's just goes to show you that that's a new agent. She's wasting her time, obviously. Okay, so now we're on to episode 2, season 1. So there's another girl, Heather. She's another blonde one. She says a quote, if you don't work and hustle, you don't get paid. And it's kind of true. It's kind of true. If you don't do transactions, you don't get commission. However, if you have a steady stream of clients, then you do work a lot. But it is kind of true. Like some months you can make a lot of deals, a lot of transactions, and some months you make less. Okay. Let's see. They bring their dogs to the office. They bring their dogs to the office. Like all of the women that have dogs and the guys bring them to the office. I couldn't do that. First of all, let's talk about the office environment. One giant room. And they all have desks in there. Like, talk about, I can hear you when you're on the phone. It's distracting me when I'm trying to work. I can hear you if you're having a conversation. So that itself, like, how do you even work? And then they bring the dogs? Like, that would be so distracting to me. The dog has to pee. What's the dog getting into? What's he chewing? Like, no. Like, when you need to work, you need to work. When you need to be on a lot of our job is to be on the phone with the clients, talking to them about a deal, negotiating the deal with the other real estate agent, talking to the lenders, talking to appraisers, talking to the escrow officers. Like you're on the phone quite a bit, or you're doing research, or you're just doing stuff. You're doing marketing, social media, whatever you got to do. You just don't have time to be sitting around in a giant ass room. Like that's the reason I don't go into our big office, because I don't need to make small chatter with everyone and not really do my work. Okay. Let's see. Beautiful real estate. They show beautiful parts of LA, but let's get real about LA. Okay. So they're on the Sunset Strip. That's where their office is. They're in LA, they're in downtown, they're in a great area. And they show obviously just the beautiful parts of LA. They put the glamour into LA. Let's get real about LA. It's one of the heavily densest populated areas. They have a horrible homeless issue. It's polluted. It's dirty. There's tons of bad neighborhoods. You have to drive an hour to get between any neighborhood. I'm not hating on LA. I grew up in Long Beach. It's a suburb of LA. I'm not hating on it at all. But there are definitely pockets of neighborhoods. There's definitely neighborhoods, and they just show the glamorous part. I mean, this is a Netflix show. Obviously, they're not going to show homeless people or the traffic or the pollution. They're just going to show the beautiful parts. Obviously, they want ratings, and they're just going to show the beautiful people in tight dresses. When they show a listing, they don't show everything that goes into it. Are people interested? First comes, okay. So now I know what I mean when I say this. So when they're doing a showing or when they have a buyer, they just show the finished product of when the house is on the market, ready to go open house. But they don't show the progression of preparing that listing. See, this is what I mean. Like you don't know all the things that go into real estate. This absolutely doesn't even prepare you. So they show the finished end of the product, but let's talk about how they met the seller. Let's talk about all the meetings they had with the seller, educating them about their property, the market, the price, what repairs they have to do, what they have to pay for. All the repairs are the seller's expense. Every seller thinks their house is worth really a lot and they think it's so beautiful. And then you have to like bring them down to earth and say, this is actually the price and this is everything you have to do for it. And this is all that you have to pay for. There's documents that need to be signed. There's disclosures. So all of that. And then the second step is actually repairing the house, actually finding the contractors, actually doing the work. And then it's taking the professional pictures, the marketing side of things. Then it's the actual showings and open houses. That's the part that they show. Then it's getting offers. Then it's negotiating. Then it's the whole escrow process up until close. So if you think it's just you get a beautiful listing, it comes all perfect like that, and that's it. You get someone that walks in and says, 5 million, deal's done. Sadly mistaken, there's way more. I feel like, I mean, this is a reality show about hot girls in a setting, in a beautiful setting where they happen to show houses sometimes and they happen to call themselves real estate agents. That's what this show really is. It's not about real estate agents. It's about hot girls, their private life drama with a little bit of real estate thrown in. They don't show you what it's really like to sell real estate or be a realtor or work with buyers or work with sellers. It's literally just about hot girls, clothes, cars, restaurants, drama. But anyways, I have a note here. Mary and Romaine's relationship is just like, whatever. It's just childish. I don't even want to talk about it. It has nothing to do with it. The only thing I just want to say is like, she's 38 in the first season and he's 25 and they're out to dinner and she's about to turn 38 or 39 and she literally tells him, I feel old. Why do women say that? Why did she say, I feel old? Does she think that that turns him on? You feel old? That's fucking sexy. Like, no. And it's honestly like, what is she doing? You're almost 40. Why are you dating a 25-year-old? Dating a 25-year-old is fine. Have as much fun as you want. But then she gets upset that he doesn't want to have kids right now, or he doesn't want to get married right now, or he doesn't act like a father to her son. It's just like, let's skip over that. Let's skip over that. Okay. When they are in the office talking about open houses. Okay, this is a little bit of real estate thrown in. The girls are talking about how they meet so many people at open houses and then they ghost them. Or they get one client out of all the 300 people they meet. And this is so fucking true. Any real estate agent will relate to this. The only reason you do open houses is not really to sell the house. The house is going to sell itself. Anyone can stand there and open the door for people. The reason you do an open house is to meet buyers and sellers. And when you're doing an open house, you're meeting a ton of people. A ton of people are walking in. But out of all the people that you meet, out of all the people that you talk to, out of all the people who you get their numbers, out of all the people that you vibe with, you're lucky if you get one client. And that's so true. I'm like really glad that they pointed that out in the show because it really is very tedious. Like in the beginning of my career and a lot of real estate agents' careers, the only way they get clients is by doing open houses because that's the way you meet people. Like I did open houses like a crazy woman every single weekend, Saturday and Sunday for 3 hours for I would say the first 4 years of my career. I was so burnt out. But that has helped me so much throughout my throughout being a realtor, because you meet those people, and like I said, you build relationships, and it's a long time. So I'm glad they touched on sort of what it's like to do open houses in the show. Heather is staging her big listing. So she walks through the house with her this new stager that she's never met before and tells her what she wants in the house. Disclaimer, when I was a new real estate agent with new listings, yes, I was meeting stagers for the first time. I didn't know their style. But now, especially when I have $5 million listings, I don't bring in new stagers that I don't know their style. I know their style completely. So that was a little bit weird that she like had never met her before. And then Heather took a personal call in the middle of the meeting, which is just like, you know, that's a Netflix show for you. I just have to say that I'm loving Christine right now because she's like super her. She's tough. She's authentic. She's not nice if she doesn't want to. She doesn't act nice. She just is what she is. And I really like her. Like, I'm really vibing with her right now. Of course, it's season one, and we'll see. Okay, so let's talk about episode 3. And I'm going to stop it after episode 3. And the next podcast show next week will be episode 4 to 8 because it's already kind of long. So it starts off this episode with Romaine making coffee in the morning for Mary. And of course, he's naked with boxers on. Obviously, he proposes. It's a very underwhelming proposal. It's whatever. Moving on. So Heather sees her listing and she doesn't like the staging. Obviously, she's never worked with the stager before, so everything is new. So, and I like that she was honest with the stager. Like, if you don't like it, you have to tell her, and I like that. And she does touch on that she has to move everything back now. The sellers, quote unquote, won't be happy because she has to move it back, which is like when you're meeting with a seller, when you have the listing, you're preparing the listing, you create a schedule of everything that has to be done when the house is going to go on the market. And things will get pushed back, as with any schedule. So she has to be, you know, flexible. And so that's another part of it too, is like you have to relay that information. You have to relay why, if the seller even wants that. You have to know what the communication style of the seller. So you have to be there. Okay. So when Chriselle is in her open house, she has to put her open house signs out. This is another point about being a real estate agent that you don't see. You have an open house and you have to put all of your open house signs. You have to get dressed up, put all of your signs in the car, drive to each corner of the house and put the house sign out, then get in the house, turn on the lights, the music, whatever. Spend 3 hours in there talking to people. And then after the open house is done, turning off all the lights, locking the door, picking up all of the open house signs, going home. After this 5 hour ordeal, you are dead. You have absolutely no energy. And then you might have 2 or 3 people's contact information. And from there, you know, you might get one person that's actually going to become a client or none. But I like that she touches briefly on this. Like, they briefly show her putting out one open house sign. Okay. It's funny. Also, in the open house, they show a lot of neighbors coming in, a lot of people that are just looky-loos, and they're asking questions to the agent. Now, this is for all the real estate agents out there. You have to know and understand when someone is just taking your attention and time away and you don't need to be talking to them, when you need to be talking to someone else, and how that transition needs to be. Okay. So I'm developing a program, a training program right now for new real estate agents about your, you know, your dream career, your dream clients, client control, the journeys, buyer sellers, all the stuff, getting clients, working with them. And part of it is knowing when you need to end a conversation, how to do it, and how to start another conversation, how to know when the conversation is done and not keep it going just because you're nervous or you don't know how. Okay. Now, one thing I want to talk about in another scene is Christine shows a client that new construction house that the brothers have. Now, I have very mixed feelings about showing a client a new construction home. I mean, a home that's mid-construction. Let me rephrase that. Especially like this. If you remember this house, it was 2 years from being finished. So she brings in a buyer, this guy that she went to high school with, who ends up asking her out. We'll talk about that later. But a buyer is never going to buy a $40 million home when the house is at least a year out of construction, because for a price tag of $40 million, all you see is wood and concrete and the location. You don't see the finishes. You don't see the floors, the walls, the windows, the doors, the patio, the kitchen, the cabinets, the countertops, the tiles. You don't see the finish. The finishes are what takes the price to $40 million from 30, from 20. It's the finishes, the high level of the finishes. So when you're bringing a buyer, he cannot see that. He can't envision that. He's never going to buy that house. Let's say what the scenarios are. You bring a person to that house. They're either, you have the insider knowledge on new construction in this area. Let's work together. You're building the relationship. Or another scenario could be, which will never happen, but it could be that they're like, yeah, put me under contract in this home. What's going to happen in that situation? They're going to be put under contract. They're going to have an opinion on the finishes. It's going to be customized to them. You're not going to be able to show the home to anybody else. And they're 100% going to have a way out of the contract, because time kills every deal. If they have to be in that construction, in escrow, in a contract for a year, for 2 years, they're going to find an out. They're going to find another house. They're going to fuck you around. They're going to get out of the contract. What you're stuck with is with a house that has customizable finishes and that you haven't been able to show. It's been on and off the market and you have to explain why. So it's never going to happen. I would never accept it. If I was representing the seller of that home, I would never accept a contract right now. I would say, come back when you're ready. So it's kind of a lose-lose situation for everybody. They can't buy the house. They can't envision it. You're not going to get a client. You might be building another relationship, but you're probably essentially wasting your time. The only way that I would do that is if my client were a developer and they were thinking about building a home. So you'd go there for new ideas, or you're showing your expertise in the new construction arena. Okay. And then the person that she's showing the house to is like her friend from high school. It's a billionaire who asks her out. Let's talk about how they do go on a date. They go on a date later on in that episode. And they're talking about how Christine was always so comfortable in her skin, how she was never afraid to be herself. And it just, like, I don't know how she has that confidence, where it came from, what she was actually like, but I could totally relate to that. I love Christine here for that. Okay, another scene. The brothers back at the office, they're in their weekly meeting or whatever, and they're telling each lady to, now they want listings 5-6% commission. Let's talk about this. We touched on commission earlier in this episode. When I'm working with a seller, I'm negotiating the commission basically for the other real estate agent and for myself. It's a 6% commission. The seller pays 6% of the sales price to me, and I split that with the other real estate agent, and we split that with our companies. That is a 6% full commission. When the brothers tell the girls they want listings only 5-6% commissions, that means that the girls are discounting their prices. I mean, it's totally normal for a seller to be like, wow, 6%, that's a lot. Can you do it for 4? Can you do it for 5? Can you do it for 3? And some people will say yes, and some people will say, will negotiate up to 6%, hold their ground, know their worth, stay. Because if I discount my prices and if I don't care about money, if I just like want the deal, what am I going to do with your money when I get an offer to buy your home and they're offering me a low price that you wanted a high price? I'm just going to say okay because I don't value that money. Anyways, that's what they mean when they say they want 5-6% commission, is because the seller negotiates that with their real estate agent. So the buyer just has to go along for the ride. All right, I'm going to stop right here because we've got 4 more episodes to go, and this is already a very long podcast episode. But let me know if you're into this. Let me know if you're into my comments, because if you're a real estate agent, you're going to probably love it. Let's see if the rest of you like it. But I'm having fun just watching and taking some notes. Anyways, I'm off now. Send me a DM, email me. I love to start a conversation with you ladies. I really love it when you reach out to me. Comment, review, it really helps me out. Anyways, I'll talk to you later. Bye.